Welcome to Wolf Den Saturday Set, where we are back, another week gone in this month-long punting expedition of ours, this holy month of punting. How are you, King Zone?
I'm pumped. What a great day's racing on Saturday. My head's spinning a bit. Hong Kong last night, betting, but what a great time of year to be a punter. It's exciting.
Things were a bit better last week. Your shot selection was a little bit better. You had that lovely shot with Wanda Rocks. It was $2.60 to $1.50.
Yeah, so you got the best bet home. But still lost in the Saturday set, but one for the week. So, yeah, just slowly on a trajectory up, and then we're going to go bang into the carnival and really explode, hopefully.
Excellent. Boy genius, how are you?
Boy genius.
Well, wait, what do you want? Two from two, three from three? I don't know. What should I call you?
Hardigan, is it on Saturday?
Is it Hardigan this week?
Very tough. This
really?
Yeah, really
right.
Tough.
Right, okay. Yeah. All right. So what would that mean? That
Identified three bets.
Okay.
See what happens.
Look forward to getting them. All right, it is Caulfield Cup Day, as we know. It's elite racing, and the racing just sort of speaks for itself, doesn't it? So why don't we roll into it? Of course, it's Everest Day as well. We're going to have a bit of a look at the Randwick meeting as well. But let's get into it. We're going to start. We've got three feature races from Caulfield, and we're going to start with the 1,000 Guineas Prelude. All these horses go towards the Group 1 1,000 Guineas. Not sure exactly the date, around November the 20th or something, towards the end of the carnival. What did you make of it, Kings? There's the market up on the screen.
Well, what I make of this is the Tassie horse again. GG's Miss Truth is my only bet in the race. I love this horse. Six starts, four wins, 2 seconds. We saw when we're down at Moonee Valley on the Friday night, and we're on GG's, get knocked off by Bellatrix Star, and we've seen what Bellatrix has come out and done as well. GG's was a bit unlucky that night. Sort of, I'm not saying that she would have won, but it's could have finished a lot closer. I think Caulfield suits as well. Really looks to be a horse on the way up. And I'm starting this off by declaring GG's is an official Saturday set tip.
Love it. Nice price. All right. What can you back that up with, Fizzer?
Comes out top pick with me as well. I did think that the market suggests this is an open race, and that's how I found it myself. GG's top pick, 1,400 first time. Not the best map I've ever seen drawing wide, but you never know, should come across. Bellatrix Star form obviously has franked its form from last start. I thought Amina was the class horse, and then with the wet track coming, I thought it probably wasn't suited. So a little bit against number one Amina on the basis that it's going to be wet. Number six, I thought Zaitong, good run last start over the 1,200 up to the 1,400. I thought would be a perfect race situation for it. I thought number two, To Be or Not To Be, had every hope behind GG's Mistruth and Bellatrix last start, and I would happily take it on in the marketplace. And then Two Darn Lizzie, Gay Waterhouse, straight to the front, Caulfield, looks like it'll handle the wet and had a nice jump out in between runs. So quite a thorough race, I thought.
Fitz, we saw on the weekend where they raced at Caulfield, obviously a lot of discussion about the track bias. How do you think that the track will play on Saturday with the rail out 3 metres?
Well, they raced there yesterday and they came down the centre of the track.
It was out 12 yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they'll bring it back. And was it rail true last
true, weekend? Then out 12, now back to 3.
Look, with the wet coming, I think it'll make things a little bit more interesting. I think once tracks get wet, it can sort of make it where people want to get off the fence and come out. So down
when's
the
wet coming? Because when I looked at it, I thought it was sunny on Saturday at Caulfield. Is there rain between
true,
now and then?
I think tomorrow they're getting meant to get a lot.
Yeah, today, tomorrow, and even Saturday, the report I saw, there's a chance of rain. Morning. But it's hard to know how much rain, and no one knows really.
I just worked on a track that would be heavy to slow.
Soft.
In that range. If it's not raining race day, you'd say it'd be slow because I think it's in the good range now.
And you're expecting there to be a bit of a bias again on Saturday? Or
no, I was expecting it to play a little bit better with the little bit of give in the ground and the rail out three. I just sort of like based it on the track playing pretty fair.
All right, let's move on to Caulfield Race 8, the Tristark Stakes for the mares. They're all on the way to the Empire Rose. Nice little field assembled here. Let's get the market up and talk. Skybird up the top there, Inform Mare. What do you say?
Well, I've got four bets in this race and I won't go on and on about them. I'll just say a few things. They are all on paces. And this 1,400-metre start at Caulfield, I love backing horses that race on speed. They're all overlays off my model. And the first one is number six, Rote to Arataki. Then we go to the seven, Poifect, the number 10, Running By, and number 14, Plenty of Ammo. Those are my four bets in the race. And I am going to play exotics with those horses as well. It's an unofficial, official Saturday set tip that is a box Quinella trifecta and first four. I'm going to be playing him. It's an unofficial, official Saturday set exotic for those exotic players out there.
Do you just tell us again those four numbers?
6, 7, 10, and 14.
Take them in your exotics. Fizzer.
There you go. Decent speed, all drawn wide here. So I was predicting quite a bit of speed for this race. I like number four, Skybird. It does get back, but it has ticked the wet track box. Miss Aria, both of them in the same race, came off a slowly run race and both made great ground last start. They're my top two. Plenty of Ammo was my next pick, but there's horses in this race like Sione, Rota Arataki, and Ahita all have class, and this is anything goes for me this race, which sounds like Kings has found as well.
All right, let's move to the big one, the Caulfield Cup for 2024. We've got an AI screen to help us. Kingzone, why don't you talk us through this AI screen?
As you can see on the AI screen, Buckaroo has a bullet rating of 105 and is well clear of the field there with Alias 65, Zardozi 55, and Circle of Fire being the good roughie there at 55. So where do we start? What a fantastic race. Well, let's start with the map, which we've got Saturday's winner, Deny Knowledge, rolling forward and leading. I'll just talk about Deny Knowledge quickly. It's 2,000 metres on Saturday, 7-day backup, up to 2,400, obviously, in the Caulfield Cup. There's going to be a bit more pressure here than Deny Knowledge experienced on Saturday. I'm against Deny Knowledge. I just think it's a too big an ask.
Going no from, weight, though. It's only got 50 kilos.
Yeah, but they're all sort of down in the weights a little bit. I think they're all around that 52, 53, 54.
I'm against a 9-0.
I just think it's too big an ask. You agree, Fitz?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that.
So then we go to Elias, who's got to come across from barrier 21, I think it is, and sit outside. A massive fan of the horse, running really fast time. First go at 2,400. You reckon Elias will get 2,400, Fitz?
No, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It's been a quality animal since it's hit the shores of Australia. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 400 metres, extra 400. It depends how soft they go in front, maybe. Might get a softer time than it did over the 2,000 last start. Hard to tell. I mean, you only know once they run across the line, I guess.
Exactly. Loves the wet as well. Not a horse that I'm really looking to back, but I think it definitely has a winning chance. Then we go to a horse like Land Legend. Barrier 1, what worried me with, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, Fitz, because I know that you're on Land Legend, pulled in this last few races. Barrier 1, is that a concern, sort of midfield barrier 1 and chance of pulling?
Yeah, I did a couple of different maps here and most of them had it pushing forward from the gate, Zach Purton on board. So maybe sitting three back the fence, maybe something like that. Yeah, a little bit, but I don't know. I watched its run again this morning and Zardozi obviously raced against its last start. And I really like Land Legend. I'm a little bit concerned if the track is heavy. That would be my biggest concern with Land Legend. I just think it eats up the 2,400 and I'm looking forward to it getting the Melbourne Cup distance as well. But, yeah, I quite like Land Legend, but I am worried a little bit about the wet.
I thought Zardozi was a bit more chance there sort of than Land Legend.
Yeah, it's got the maps I was looking at have it way further back this time than the last one, maybe due to the barrier it's drawn. Loves the wet, so tick that over if it becomes heavy. Very good chance, Zardozi as well.
I also thought Duke de Sessa had a chance. Going to be race on pace, fit, in career best form, 52 kilos. You give Duke de Sessa any hope?
I do. Give it a good chance.
Then we go to the two that I'm interested in. So I just want to talk about Circle of Fire, who's who I've got as a good roughie there. I'm going to have a very small bet on Circle of Fire. Circle of Fire has clearly been set for the Melbourne Cup. 1,600 metres, first up, 2,000, second up, ran okay, just building nicely. Really interested to see what Circle of Fire could do in the Caulfield Cup over 2,400. Circle of Fire is my top pick at the moment. If I was going to tip anything for the Melbourne Cup, Kieran Maher is an absolute genius. Sure. And the way he's preparing this horse, go and have a look at its Sydney Cup win, where it's sat wide as a huge, huge win in the Sydney Cup. So I'm really interested to see how Circle of Fire goes. If you're playing exotics, I'd definitely be putting Circle of Fire in the Caulfield Cup. And that takes me to my only main bet, and I'm very confident about Buckaroo. The Underwood win was exceptional at Caulfield, loves Caulfield, tried at Caulfield, which a few of these other horses haven't been. Turnbull run behind Via Sistina was very, very good as well. Those are the two form races I've found in history when you're looking for Caulfield Cup winners. You got the Magic Man on board. You got Chris Waller. What more do you need? Maps beautifully, I thought, as well. It's probably sitting about sixth or seventh. New horse since he's been gelded. And we saw what Without a Fight sort of did in the second prep in the UK, coming over from the UK. Ticks so many boxes for me. I think you can get about 440. What do we got up there? 420. Ease, I wouldn't be jumping into the 420.
That seems a bit short, yeah.
I wouldn't be jumping into the 420. I think you'll probably get around the 460 mark. And is an official Caulfield Cup Saturday set tip.
Fantastic. Fizz, you got anything more to add?
Did you look at the overseas horses?
Saidati. I'm definitely, I forgot about Saidati.
Saidati.
I'm definitely having something on Saidati. Kieran Maher, as I spoke about before, has 50 kilos Kieran Maher. Well, that's enough for me. European with 50 kilos and Kieran Maher. I know nothing about now, except I did go and have a look at the UK form. Yeah. You'll know more about it, but I'm definitely going to save. So my bet's in the race. Main bet, Buckaroo. Smaller bets, Saidati and Circle of Fire. You got ratings for the UK, Fitz. How did Saidati match up?
I do. Matched up fine against this lot. They often do, those European stayers, but I only had a quick, briefly look at it. It was something that I was slightly interested in, but obviously I've got Landlodge and Legend going for a bit in this race and the Melbourne Cup. So at the moment, look, I like Land Legend because my money's on Land Legend, but I can concede that this race looks much more open than that. Buckaroo, the only concern I got for it is I'm not sure about it running out the 2400, that there's a couple of horses in the same boat as it. Other than that, I can't steer anyone into anything anyone doesn't know, other than I said deny knowledge, wet track, not so good, and more pressure this race. So, yeah, didn't really want to be on that, but it had run had a 2400-metre run, which others hadn't, and had won at that distance. So, other than that, yeah, the race looks very hard. Zardozi, great run last start. Elias, 2400, not sure. Good horse on the rise. I thought Warmonger's runs have only just been in so far. Wasn't really sold on it. Duke de Sessa pushes forward. Did get run over the top of over 2,000 last start, so we'll just see what happens there. But, yeah, it's an open cup and a real good one.
It's open, but there's a lot of horses over 20-1 that have got no hope.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the roughies. They weren't really in the calculations for me.
I like playing exotics in these sort of races where you've got 18 horses and you can pen about half the field and get a bit of value through the exotics.
Will you be refining your exotic selections before Saturday?
I will. I want to see how the track's playing as well with Caulfield. And I also want to see how much rain there is. But I'll tell you what I will be doing. I'll be putting up on the Den my Caulfield Cup trifectas and first fours about midday probably a bit later, about 2-3 o'clock once I see how the track's playing.
And people can ride them live with you because we're doing a live stream.
You beauty.
A few things to talk about. That first thing, AI is free on Saturday. I think there's four Victorian meetings on.
Are there
four? Avoca maybe, wow, okay. Wodonga, Bendigo.
Yep.
Packing them on Friday night as well. It's free there. If you want to go to the Caulfield Cup meeting, you can go for free due to our friends at the Melbourne Racing Club. They've been very generous, and this is the combination of all that. Free tickets to the Caulfield Cup meeting.
Whoa.
Go hit the link in the description. And as I said earlier, we are live streaming 3:40 p.m. maybe was the time, 3:40 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. It was a lot of fun last week. I thought we really hit our straps for the live stream. Got the makeup of it right. A lot of involvement from everybody out there in the comments. Felt like we're all in one big room together. We're doing it again on Saturday. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code Gallop. Take on the fun this spring carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this spring carnival. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. And I think it's now time to move to the big meeting at Randwick.
It is a big meeting at Randwick. We had a bit of rain. It absolutely pissed down on Wednesday. Today's sunny. They are tipping a bit of rain tomorrow. So tomorrow's the day where we'll see rain. What do you think the track's going to be, Fitz?
I'd say just soft. It's not going to be raining race day, I don't think, and I'm not sure. They're saying 35% chance of rain tomorrow, so that could just miss. We'll see what happens.
So I did a bit of historical research on the track at Randwick, and to my surprise, when it's soft slash slow or heavy going, leaders have an advantage, and inside barriers have an advantage as well, which surprised me. I thought it would be sort of down the middle of the track when it was wet, but that's what the figures are telling me, and the figures sort of don't lie. That was since 2015.
Mm. You see, it's a sellout. Can't buy a ticket.
No, really, amazing, that's great. Yeah, that's good.
What is Randwick hold?
Racing flying, eh?
Yeah, it's no, good. It is. It's really good. It's really good. Yeah.
Get in running.
The circus. There was.
What do they hold?
40, maybe 50. Pretty I don't good. Know. They just said it sold out. Yeah. No, it's yeah, fantastic. Wow. Yeah, really, really cool.
Fantastic.
All right, let's start talking about the most important thing, the racing. We're going to start with race six at the Sydney Stakes, kind of known as the Everest Consolation, a cracking field. The interesting runner, Southport Tycoon, went off like a frog in a sock in the Manicato. Mm. Yeah, it's the unknown horse here in the sense that how will it go at 1,200 metres again against this field? $4.80 seems a pretty good price. What do you say?
Well, there's just so much pace in this race. It's just overpass. You've got Marzu, you've got Cold Crusher, and hard to say. They'll all push forward, so there's plenty of speed. What I would say is Southport Tycoon, I still can't believe it. One, I wasn't on Growing Empire, but geez, how sick would you be if you're on Growing Empire? I got three bets in this race. Number two, Think About It, which everyone, you know, you're getting nine, you're getting what, eight? What price is Think
bucks,
About It? $8. Yeah. You'll get better than that. Everyone's off Think About It at the moment. I backed Think About It last start. I think it was the Premier, was it? And it went back to last.
Look like ride, yeah.
Funny ride. I think Drawn Wide Again may go back, but there's just so much pace in this race. Getting $9 about a real classy gallop in and sort of an easier race than Think About It would have faced. Joe Pride said it was flying last time, so that's good enough for me at that price. Also going to back number five, King of Sparta. Had three trials. First up, Drawn Wide Again. J-Max ridden this horse five times for four wins. So we'll be coming home as well. And the other one is number 16, Lady Laguna. Another one that's drawn off the track, but we'll be coming home. So I'm not sure where Lady Laguna's going to map. What did Annabelle say on the Annabelle set yesterday?
She's not happy with where it's drawn. Her confidence is a bit dashed by where it's drawn. But, I mean, we all saw it trial really well last week amongst all those Everest horses and Fangirl and whatnot. So it looks like she's going really well. If she gets a bit of luck, $18 is a fantastic price. I'd say that's her summation.
You can sit wide in a lot of these races sometimes, big fields, 16 sort of 18 horse fields. Sometimes it's better drawn wide and if you can get cover rather than being back in the pack and looking for a run. So those are my three bets. Think About It, King of Sparta and Lady Laguna.
Fizz.
Yeah, I came up with Overpass top pick in this race, but then I had a good look into this race because I'm finding Randwick very hard this weekend and I thought its record at Randwick's really ordinary. It's had nine starts for 3 seconds only and it does go enormous first up, but its last two wins have been in Perth and it's a good track for a horse that gets on speed, Ascot. So I'm a little bit worried, but Overpass top pick. Marzu loves the 1,200 metres at Randwick. I mean, each way all day, Marzu, you would think at that price. I'm a little bit jury's out on Think About It. Kings has found it, but not for me. Southport Tycoon's the one to beat, but gets back in a big field and will be stuck in the ruck somewhere. It'll have to work its magic at last start.
Tricky map.
To get there. I did say King of Sparta and Climbing Star, both not without a hope, drawn wide, but with cover might be a good chance. And Airman's the map horse. Airman Everest Field out of the park last start. Mm. Airman gets the same run again here. So whether it can repeat what it did, which was a new peak, we'll see. But it gets the perfect run, Airman.
Zach Lloyd on again. Yeah. All right, let's go to the main event. The Everest for 2024. There's the market.
There's the market. I'll tell you where I'll be tomorrow afternoon. I'll be down at the Oakett Double Bay for the big Everest Calcutta, which gets, I think they got maybe 150, 200,000 in the pool last year. And I'll be doing my best to be bidding up and trying to back the winner.
I might pop down for a beer as well.
Yeah, get down there, come down and say hello. Let's talk Everest. What a great field. What a great race.
Yeah, it's coming together really nicely.
Form lines. It's a magnificent race. So let's once again start with the map. So you've got Storm Boy going forward and probably leading. Lady of Camelot's drawn out wide and will be coming forward and coming across. Whether they try and slot in and sit fourth or sit outside Storm Boy, we'll wait and see. Growing Empire is the other one, which will be on pace and probably sitting third. So Growing Empire will either sit outside Storm Boy, I think, or be sitting fourth in the 1-1 spot there. I Am Me will be kicking up and sitting probably third fence behind Storm Boy and getting the same run that I Am Me has got for its last two starts. So I'll start with I Am Me. The track pattern, which I spoke about before with the wet track, so we don't know how the track's going to be playing, but it changes the complexion of the race a lot if it is, you know, heavy track and it happened to be on pace or the fence was off. So we're just going to have to wait and see. But the four horses I'm interested in at the moment is, one of them is I Am Me. Once again, Kira Maher, you got Nash in the saddle, knows how to ride big race winners. Yeah, I Am Me's won its last two, has got all the favours its last two starts, but does get all the favours again, I think.
And a good price.
From that barrier. Yeah, I think Ladbrokes are leading the way with the price when I looked earlier with I Am Me at $18. They're out on their own, so they obviously don't like it. I Am Me, but I think $18 is a good price. I'll stick with you on paces. I think Storm Boy has got a fantastic chance. $13 looks not a bad price for me, Storm Boy. 53, if it's leaderish once again, 53 kilos on his back, coming back from 1400 back to 1200 out of the Golden Rays. You give Storm Boy a hope, Fitz?
On ratings, yes, but personally, I don't want to be on Storm Boy. That's just my own sort of opinion. I'm just not sure the three-year-olds. I'm looking for a horse that's actually set for this race, not an afterthought. So that was
fair call.
That was my opinion in this race.
The other two horses I'm interested is Sunshine in Paris, which I'm just in love with this horse.
Not as in love with as her trainer is.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
She thinks it's disgusting, the price that Sunshine in Paris is. She thinks it's... it should be much closer to what Jolie Star is after she beat the brains in of Jolie Star last start. But we love that. We want as big a price as possible, Sunshine in Paris. She gave it a triple tick, 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 tick.
Sunshine in Paris does seem a great price to me at $10. I think that Sunshine in Paris has a lot of improvement from that run as well, as does Jolie Star. So Jolie Star ran a rating on my scale of 100 first up. Sunshine in Paris, I think, rated 98 or 99, but has done 102 in previous preparations. So Sunshine in Paris is the real deal. Jolie Star, I think, has got a great chance. We saw Chris Waller horses, how they can come off second up. Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me if Jolie Star won. But at the price that Jolie Star is compared to Sunshine in Paris, I think that it's much better value. Jolie Star, $6. Sunshine in Paris, $10.
The Waller factor's got to be huge. Like, he's won 6 of 15 group ones so far this year. It's just every time there's a big group one, and just suddenly there's Waller, he's winning. So I think that that's part of it. Maybe it'll get out a bit in the market because the bookies are being a little bit defensive.
I think Jolie Star will drift in the market, but still going to have a lot of support. I was with Bella Nipotina, was the horse that I was really interested in. Been set for this, Fitz, you reckon?
100%.
Beautiful. We like that. Yeah. Come off a Bella Nipotina, surprisingly, has had 54 starts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she's
and she's still going as good as ever.
Yeah. Even better, I reckon. She's just a freak.
Hasn't missed a place for six or seven runs.
Yeah.
Should have arguably won. Been held up, 1,000 metres first up. Not her go, but ran a real good race and then should have won last start. I know it was as against Airman and Giga Kick, but the way that she hit the line, has drawn out in 12. The map's a little bit of a query, but once again, we'll see how the track is playing. But those are the four horses that I'm interested in. Definitely going to have back Bella Nipotina and I Am Me. And I just I want to see what the track and Sunshine in Paris, and I just want to see what the track's doing with Storm Boy.
I won't talk about their risk too much because I'm not having a bet in it, and I found it really, really hard looking at this race. Jolie Star I thought was unders as the favourite, but we've talked about that. Waller and his group one record. I was looking at which I said earlier, I'm looking at horses that were set for this race. So Bella Nipotina, Steffi Magnetica, Sunshine in Paris, and I Wish I Win. All quality animals and all set for this race. I was worried I Am Me wouldn't run the 1200 out strongly. That's the reason I was opposing it. Giga Kick, J-Mac has jumped off it and quite liked it last start, I heard. So you would suggest it's not going that good. So for me, something each way on Steffi Magnetica if I had to have a bet.
Yeah.
My thoughts with with the Manicato was I wish I win, which I backed when we were down in Melbourne. Got to the centre of the track. I know Moonee Valley's not its go, but it was a 1,200-metre race. Yep. I thought I wish I win was going to win at the 300, and I just don't know if he's going as good.
I don't know either.
I don't know if he. I just don't know if he can. He can
sprint final though.
It's a hot race. There's 10 horses on the field on the screen there, and like you wouldn't be surprised if any of them really won. Maybe I'd be surprised if Gigi could win, but then you'd think to yourself, well, I won it 2 years ago. It found its form again.
I think Growing Empire is pretty short too at 750. If Growing Empire couldn't win the Manicato, then I don't see how it can win the Everest 1200 Valley, then travelling to Sydney at Randwick.
Mm. And Traffic Warden too. Like there's a bit of unknown. They're 3-year-olds, massive rising grade. I guess Growing Empire already has been at Manicato level, but
Traffic Warden seems short. It's all about price really in the end. Traffic Warden, Growing Empire and Jolly Star seem short, but yeah, I mean they can all still win. But
do we agree the market will look very different by the time SP time comes?
I think it's a lot going to be track dependent, but I can see there being money for a lot of these lightly raced 3 and 4 year olds that are down in the weights, but a lot's track dependent. Stormboy could start $16, or if its leader is Stormboy, starts sort of $7 or $8.
Wow. All right, we've got to keep moving. Let's go to the King Charles. Did I say it right?
King Charles.
$5 million race, 1600 meters. Some of the best horses in the land go at it. The Joker in the pack. Pride of Jenny up the top there.
How good's the great game, Rich?
It is so
good. How good's doing form?
What do we say, Kingzone?
Well, what I say is that this is such an intriguing... I love races that Pride of Jenny are in because she's such an intriguing horse, as in watch how other horses react to her. So we saw how Via Sistina failed, and the Cox Plate's going to be another intriguing discussion next week. But what's interesting in this race is... Fangirl, even though Fangirl's raced in Group 1s and you know, very high-class races, it's amazing how many races Fangirl's been in where she hasn't had a fast early tempo. Her fastest early tempo was in the Cox Plate, which I backed her last year in, and she arguably, you know, she should have finished a lot closer. Whether she would have won or not, it's not really the point. But the point is she got a fast tempo then. It's not going to be as fast as this tempo is going to be, but she ran a great race. So... having said that, I'm with Fangirl. I think the odds between Pride of Jenny at $2.35 and Fangirl at $3.70 are too big. I think that Pride of Jenny's got a great chance. I mean, I love Pride of Jenny. Major Beale is the other intriguing part of this race, who's drawn 10, Pride of Jenny's drawn 11. Major Beale's going to push forward. I'm not saying Major Beale's going to lead, but Major Beale could annoy Pride of Jenny, whereas she's had the last few races, the four-horse race, last start on her own. So it's an intriguing race. I'm going to go with Fangirl. I'm confident about Fangirl. Fangirl's the real deal. She's going well. She won for me last start. She's good odds. And she is an official Saturday set King Charles tip.
Love it. Fizz, what do you got to add, mate?
Yeah, I haven't got a lot to add here because I thought the winner comes from the top three in the market, Fangirl, Sierra Wolf and Pride of Jenny. I'm really interested to see whether or not Major Beale does take Pride of Jenny on. That's the only thing that sort of... I got a feeling Pride of Jenny just rolls past Major Beale and just keeps going like she does every other time. Just looking forward to that last 100, 200 metres in the straight. But other than that, no bet race. But I can't see a winner coming outside those.
Yeah. Gio Wolf's got a chance.
Yeah.
Off the numbers.
Yeah.
Did a very high rating in the Epsom.
Yeah.
And Annabelle was very keen on both Amelia's Jewel and Maya Oberon. She thought they were both great each way. Bets. So
I don't think it's a two-horse race at all. Like, Pride of Jenny does things to races that you don't see very often. So I'm really intrigued by this race.
And I've mentioned the Annabelle set a number of times. Go watch it. It's on our YouTube channel. We put up last night. It's great insight. She's a great talent. A lot of fun. The tips have been really good. So go check that out.
What about the multi last week? The
place multi. I
added up. What did I say? Was it 3,000 to 1 or 300? 300
to 1. This
three or four. I got to 450 to 1 and put out 300. Or, yeah. That was the place multi where she her four tips.
Someone had $50 and one pulled back 12,400. Very good. Can I please get your official Saturday set tip, knowing that you're probably going to go over a few that you've already mentioned?
You most certainly can. So let's start for Caulfield Race 6, GG's Myth's Truth. Then we went to the Caulfield Cup Race 9, Buckaroo. Then we went to Randwick Race 9, which we just spoke about, Our Girl, Fangirl. So that's three. I've got three more for you. We'll stay at Randwick. Race 8, two bets in the same race, both Annabelle's. The four Astraka, two from two, 1,300. The horse is absolutely flying. And the other one, which I thought was great odds, I'd wait on the price at Astraka. I think we'll get it drawn wide. I think we'll get a better price than's currently on offer. The other one was Port Lockroy, which is around the $10 or $11 mark at the moment. Huge first up behind Astraka, gets to 1,300. Annabelle keen on those two?
Oh, yeah. They're both tips for her, and she was very keen on the race. Disappointed with the barrier that Astraka got. She pushes harder for Port Lockroy, but they're both tips. It's a race that we've got to really get stuck into because the odds are pretty tasty. Might not come off, but it's not going to cost much if it doesn't.
No, both great odds. Then one more race, head up north, Eagle Farm, race eight, later on in the day, number three, Estrondo. Let's go to the tape and have a look at Estrondo's last run. Fitz, you're pretty keen on Estrondo as well.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, so it misses – I didn't miss the kick. It sort of just like drew wide and then pulled back to last to come up the inside. You'll see that before the home turn, it's well back. Runs into a lot of rump stake in the straight, so you'll see in a minute that he finds every avenue into the horse's backsides. But as it gets out right at the end, you'll see that it was ready at the line to probably win the race with any luck. Now, this race on the weekend is up to 1,400, this horse, and James Orman jumps on, which is a big, big tick for me. I reckon he's possibly the best jockey up there in Queensland at the moment. So I'm a big fan of this horse, and I think that Saturday is this horse is a very good bet. So
the other two things I liked about Estrondo was the strong tempo in the race, and also I think Eagle Farm will suit a lot better.
Agree.
So at six, that's how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 official Saturday set tips for Everest/Caulfield Cup Day.
Plenty for everyone to work with. Great work. Frizzo, you want to give us yours?
Yeah, mine are all in Eagle Farm. So start in race 6, number 8, a horse called Torabella. First up for Gollan, draws wide, but we'll go straight to the front and I think it'll be too hard to catch. Eagle Farm, race 7, number 8, another horse, Cigar Flick, that gets back. But the other three horses in the market are all speed horses and I think there's enough speed here for this horse to swoop late. And then I'm with Kings in the last, race 8, number 3, Estrondo. They're my three bets.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the A-team set. Here we go. Dan O, timping Dominetta, Randwick Race 3. She comes into this race as the lightly raced up-and-comer, fitter for her first-up win where she gave the impression 1,400 metres would suit, goes forward and has plenty of scope to improve with the Waterhouse and Bot Polish. Moving on, who's next? There is Dream Team, the star of the show a couple of weeks back. Arguably won the Metrop last week and meets the actual winner 3 kilos better off, has the 2,400-metre run under her belt. And any rain can only be a bonus. That is Zardozi. Moving on, best value in a very even race. Only horse with a genuine excuse last start when caught wide, has a flexible mat depending on what happens early. And I think she will appreciate any give in the track with the lightweight. Who's he talking about? Lady of Camelot.
Is he fair dinkin' Smalley tipping Lady of Camelot? He's been on the chuff, Smalley.
I've been giving him grief all week, but I tell you what, we'll see.
God bless you. He's been out there having a puff.
Small on to Junior, from Smalley to Junior. He was like you. He found Saturday tough, so he's gone packing them on Friday night. Good to see. He's talking about Blazing Harry. Looks impossible this week. Blazing Harry was enormous after having a year off, getting back and wide off a slow tempo on a leader's track first up. There is the A set. Let's move to Accountability. King Zone just stumbling along. The Fizzer,
35%. That is phenomenal, Fitzy. I've got to say, I've got to take my hat off to you.
The last couple of weeks have been good.
Let's go to A set profitability. Good, not a bad look. Dano with a lot of work to do. But
so two, three, four, they're down 400. Fitzy's up 2.5 and I'm down 200. So, yeah, put them all together and we're a long way in front. So as a team, we're moving forward thanks to you, Fitz.
Thank you.
And I think we've got a couple here. We've got the October leaderboard for Punter of the Year. Great to see Shane Foley up there.
He's been
on the den since day one.
Lisa's flying all the time too.
And have we got den top 10 this week, Trill Mint? Is that right? There it is. Talk to us about that.
Well, just have a look at those figures there, the den top 10. So this is the top 10 punters on the den from their copy tips that have won the most money. And as you can see there from Extra Bacon down, there are 10 strong punters that have won. So what's Extra Bacon's winning at 42% profit on turnover all the way down? My eyes are completely gone. Who's down number 10 there? And what's
Kieran Evans. Percent?
Kieran Kev. Kev, what's Kev winning at?
16%.
16% on turnover. So that's just the when it's tipped at the time. And it's not from a small sample size either. Like, what are we dealing with? 400, 500, 1, anything over 100 bets. It's phenomenal. Get on the den. follow the tipsters. There's so many good judges on there.
Great.
I need to lift.
It can only help.
Fitzy, you're fine. You tipped a 20-1 winner yesterday as well.
Yeah,
I saw.
It was nice to get a roughie up. It's good for everyone involved.
Just what you
included.
Do.
You just got to do your best.
It's been a long show, so we're just about to wrap up. We've got some great content coming up over the next few weeks. I'm flying down to Melbourne on Monday with Trailmead. I drag Trailmead everywhere. I'm going to do a Geelong Cup set with Ben Ascari.
Wow.
So that'd be cool.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I love Benny. He's got a great technical mind, so I'm looking forward to sitting down with him and trying to pull a few pearls off him and a few winning tips.
Ask him what he looks for when he's doing the form when you're down there, please.
I absolutely will. But last little bit after I talk to him, I'll talk to him about how he prepared for the Geelong Cup meeting and try and drill into what he does a little bit. That's about it, really. And as I like to always finish you with something to pump you up, I thought about this long and hard all week. Blake Shin's ride on Antino was the best ride I've ever seen. Considering all the stuff that was going on before the race and all that kind of thing, I thought it was brilliant. Racing.com just put this little piece up where they talk to him and he unpacks the ride over about a 3 or 4 minute period. I found it very interesting and I encourage you all to watch it. Did you just want to say something?
I did want to say something because I haven't spoken about Blake Shin's ride, which is a fantastic ride, and I don't want to go into why it was such a great ride. But what I do want to say is Blake Shin showed a lot of courage by taking off and going forward. So if that horse had stopped, it was a great run by Antino. Obviously, he did a great job, but the horse took him there. If the horse had stopped and run, packed up and run eighth, would we have said it was such a good ride? So my point of all this is, if a jockey has the courage to take off and do that and it doesn't work out, don't be dirty on the jockey because, you know, the jockeys, they're just doing their best. And we want that in racing where jockeys are showing such courage and such confidence because the backlash, and we saw it with Craig Williams back last year where he did a few things and everyone was into him. So my point is there's only one winner in every race and it happened to be Blake Shin. So I take my hat off to him. Fantastic ride. Back over to you.
So go and watch this now. Blake Shin's at the absolute top of his game. This is him unpacking, in my opinion, the best ride in many decades. Enjoy it. We'll see you in the den on Saturday for a live stream. Let's go.
Blake, thanks very much for your time. Everyone's talking about your ride on Antino over the course of the weekend. So let's go through it from your point of view. You jump out, didn't have the most amount of early speed. Talk us through the early stages.
Yes, he's a horse that can be slow away and obviously I wanted to try and get him away as best he could, but unfortunately he was on the back foot at the start. So we had to go to plan B and ride him quietly. And at that time, about 100 metres after the start, I was on the back of Craig, which was a leading chance in my mind. And I thought, I'll just track Craig Williams wherever he goes on Craig. And the speed was nice. And just rolling through that first half, just nice and relaxed and ensuring that he's comfortable within himself so that he can, you know, run the mile out very strongly.
You get to the half mile by the railway side of the course, the pace slackens. Is that when you thought now's the right time to take off?
Not necessarily. Craig was in front of me, as I said. He was just behind Light Infantryman, which was three wide. And I felt out there that, you know, Craig Williams didn't want to come out to that three wide line, possibly thinking about the way the track was playing. So I felt there was an opportunity to make a few lengths up, three wide with cover on the back of Light Infantryman. And as I was doing that, the pace seemed to come more off out of the race. So I just continued on my run. I made a decision to come out four wide and keep blending into the race and take that chance and an opportunity to put him into the race.
And then you're well in front by the time they turned for home. Were you surprised just how well Antino was able to sustain that run?
I was a bit, because he hasn't had a real opportunity when I've ridden him to really, really do that. Tony Gowan indicated to me that he can sustain a good half-mile run, which that Maccabi Diva against Pride of Jenny where he sat second, that was a sustained gallop the whole way. So we know he's a very tough horse. And when we spent no petrol early, you know, I kind of felt, well, let's see what you got, especially the way the race shape was happening from the 1,000 metres.
Antino, Blake Shin, take a bow from last to first, has bolted in, demolished them.
When you hit the line, you look back and they're miles behind you, the rest of the field. What was going through you then? How much satisfaction did you derive out of that win?
A lot, yes. You know, when you ride a horse like that and you trust your instincts out there, It's a great feeling, especially on the biggest stage in a Group One, and you know, it's what we're in it for. It's what we get paid for, to make decisions like that. And it wasn't just about me; it was about Antino's performance and the whole team around him. And to be able to achieve that was really, really special.
And the fact that you were happy to make those sort of decisions, try something, you take the race by the scruff of the neck, do you think that's one of the reasons behind your success?
I guess so. Look, I'm never afraid to, you know, to back myself out in a race, to get it right. You know, sometimes we might have certain instructions that mightn't go our way, or people might think a particular horse should be ridden a different way. But the way the race unfolds, you've got to keep adapting and try and, you know, ride the race as we see it to get the best possible chance. And fortunately, I've got some great owners that, win or lose, they know I'm out there, you know, giving 120% for them.